This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ben Raby will join us at 11. We'll talk some hockey with Ben. You'll hear Cooley next hour. And then we may get Ben Standing back on the show because he was on with us for a whopping 2.5 minutes yesterday at the very end of the show after the press conference. I got this from Dolph. Dolph wrote, Kevin. Oh, first of all, the subject, because this was an email, Commanders draft, tragically bad media. Kevin, the Commanders had a solid draft, but the talk shows and pundits were simply awful. Everyone said they had to take an edge in a draft deep with edge rushers. Wrong. Nobody I listened to, you, John Keim, Ben Standing, Nikki, got any of the names right. Weeks, if not months of work and lots of, they really like this guy and that guy. It was all wrong. I know the excuse. This was an unpredictable draft, but the magnitude of the miss by the media and pundits was epic. Perhaps some humility is in order, and maybe an apology. Thank you, Dolph. That was outstanding. Yeah, we were talking edge, no doubt. We were talking edge pass rusher a lot. They needed one, and this draft was very deep in edge and defensive ends. So thinking that they would take an edge and a defensive end and mentioning many of the names that we mentioned along the way, and I don't know the names that Keim, although John did come on with me. Nikki came on with me, too. All those people came on. We talked a lot of names, and none of those people ended up in a Washington draft class. That is true. But I mean, are you kidding me? Seriously. I mean, is this your first draft? Like, is this the first draft you've actually watched and consumed? Come on, man. Nobody gets this thing right. Especially, by the way, if you're picking at 29. You know, picking and mocking out the top five typically isn't that hard. So last year, you know, we all had Jaden. We kind of knew it was going to be Jaden. But I wasn't sitting there, you know, holding up my arms in a V saying, I got it right. I got Jalen right. I've been predicting. Look, I love the player, and I was thrilled they did it, and I would have criticized them had they not picked him. But everybody knew when we got to draft day they were going to pick him. This is the draft, that is. This is tops on the list of things we talk about during the course of the 12-month sports calendar that we don't know anything about. We don't know anything. That's why these grades that come afterwards and, you know, let Adam cook and Adam's playing chess, everybody else is playing checkers. How do you know? You don't know anything. This is the number one, we don't know anything. You know how I know that? Because the people that get paid millions of dollars a year to do this for teams, they don't get it right most of the time. Now, I know what you're referring to, Dolph. You're referring to more of the predictions of what Washington would do. Because we don't know, there were a lot of players that I discussed heading into the draft. And really, my conversations were more about the players that I liked. Yes, I thought some of those players would not be good fits for Washington, and others might be. But, you know, you can't really predict at 29, and by the way, five picks, you know, late in the round, in each of these rounds. You don't know what options are going to exist when they're on the clock. Look, I love the conversation about the draft. I love the draft. I've always loved the draft, but I'm not, you know, sitting here telling you that I've got their whole draft pegged out perfectly or that everybody that I've looked at is going to end up being great. This is a 35 to 40% business when it's done well by the people who do it well, and you don't know for 3 years. Somebody sent me an email, too, saying, you throw that figure out a lot. How do you know? Well, PFF did a thing a while back, and I couldn't find that one, but I found an updated study in which essentially they looked at they looked at down the road snap counts. They, rather than trying to define what a, you know, meaningful contributor was, they looked at snap counts and snap counts by positions, because, you know, snap counts are different position by position. And, you know, there are certain positions that actually have a long-term better chance of being contributors. Interior linemen, both sides of the ball, tend to have better chances, whereas a lot of skill position players don't. And certainly first-rounders have a better chance than the rest of your draft. Like right now, the average since the fifth-year option went into place, which was 2011, and really, we only have the data of 2011 through 2021, because you have to wait a few years before you know whether or not teams picking up the options by, I think, May 1st is the deadline. I think this week is the deadline for fifth-year options. But it's the fifth-year option on players who were drafted in 2022. So for 2011 through 2021, I saw essentially 59.8% of first-rounders were either extended or the fifth-year options were picked up. Now, the fifth-year options being picked up did not necessarily mean that the player was a good player or had contributed a lot. It was, at times, sometimes like, we got to give it one more shot here. We got to pick up the fifth-year option and just give it another shot. But still, that means on first-rounders, you know, you're talking about essentially 40.2% don't work out. That's first round. So, yes, for a seven-round draft, if 3 years down the road, by position, that player that you picked is contributing a certain number of snaps, which PFF defined as, you know, that defines a successful pick, and you're hitting at basically anywhere higher than like 37%, you've had a successful draft. So, yeah, it's Dolph, I love the email because it made me laugh out loud, but at the same time, I'm not about to give you an apology, because in the process, I think there's been humility. The humility is, hey, we don't know what we're talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about, but we're going to have the conversation anyway, because this is such a massive event, the draft. And the draft does end up being a big part of a foundation of a team moving forward, whether it's one draft, typically not, or a combination of like three drafts where, you know, if you get a chance to pick, let's just say 24 players over a three-year period, you know, can you hit on somewhere around 10 of those 24. If you do, in 3 years, you've got 10 significant contributing members, it's the foundation for something. But it's too hard, man. Nobody gets this right. You know, I'm not sitting here auditing anybody else either, because I know, all due respect to people that, you know, are putting out mock drafts and people who are talking about the draft in the same way I do, I know that they're not going to get most things right. Now, with respect to your specific criticism about an edge, a defensive end, yeah, I'm surprised they didn't take one. I am. You have to take that and say, well, what is it that they see about their current roster that allowed them to be comfortable not taking a defensive end edge in a draft that most thought was loaded with them? It's very possible that every time they were on the clock, there was a player that was the best player available, and that player was just much better than the defensive edge player, defensive, you know, end edge player that they liked. And then that player ended up getting picked. You know, I actually think that's the way they do draft. I think we've seen that now for 2 years. They really are a best player available on their board team. And you could make the case going into this draft that other than quarterback and just a guy that you were going to play at left tackle, because they weren't going to draft a guy that was going to play at left tackle because of what they traded to get Tunsil, that everything else was in play. And we did talk about that. Everything else was in play. You know, if the best player available on their board is an offensive lineman at 29, they're going to take that player. And guess what? They did. If the best player available on their board at 61 in the second round is a corner, and that player is better than the defensive end edge that's on the board, they're going to take the corner. I can't tell you how close they were to drafting a defensive end or an edge. I do think that had Josh Connerly had been drafted before 29 in the first round, I think that there was a possibility in Azaraku from Boston College would have been the pick, or they would have traded back and potentially gotten him in the second round and picked up an additional pick. Because I do believe Adam Peters at his word that there were offers to move back. But Connerly Jr. was clearly the best player on their board, and they picked him. Azaraku, for those of you that didn't follow, went in the second round, 12th pick of the second round, to the Cowboys, who many people are saying the Cowboys had a great draft. Okay, maybe. I don't know. If you want to evaluate a draft and you want to do it solely based on a consensus of the projections of where the player was supposed to be picked, I'm fine with that, but even that's dangerous, especially in a draft like this year's draft where you had a slug of players, you know, call it 40 to 60 players that basically were thought to be anywhere from mid-first to mid-third. You know, so that's really hard. Like, I think Washington selecting Trey Amos in the second round and at the end of the second round looks like great value based on where he was projected to go. So if you want to say they got tremendous value with Amos in the second round, they got tremendous value with Kane Medrano from UCLA in the sixth round, you know, if you want to evaluate the draft that way, but evaluating the draft based on the player's ability at the next level, the fit, the opportunity, the player, the scheme, etc. I mean, go for it. I mean, the Cowboys drafted Tyler Booker, 12 overall. That was a player that a lot of teams liked. I think Washington liked Tyler Booker a lot. But then again, Dolph, if Tyler Booker had been on the board and they had selected Connerly Jr., would have looked terrible. But there were a few things that I'm sure others, you know, kind of learned a little bit. This group is much more tight-lipped than previous groups. There were previous groups, not just the Allen group necessarily, but even the Rivera group, that there was more information. This group is tight-lipped. I love that about them because I think it's smart. But the Cowboys drafted, you know, Booker, Azaraku, and Revelle Jr. In the first three rounds, and all three of those guys had, you know, had been mocked in the first round. They got Jaden Blue, the running back from Texas, in the fifth round. He had been mocked as high as the second round. So, you know, if you want to base it off that, that's fine. But it's a hard thing, man, the draft. It's fun, but I think the constant reminder to myself and to those of you listening that we don't know anything about anything, but it's not going to stop us from having these conversations. It's not going to stop me from doing draft prep work and telling you who I like based on watching them as college football players or watching their, you know, tape, not as an expert, and reading about the players and their overall, you know, intangibles or lack thereof, etc. And let me just mention again, my favorite pick in Washington's draft, and I acknowledge going in that there's just as much chance he'll get cut as he will end up becoming a significant player for this franchise. But I loved watching Kane Medrano, the linebacker from UCLA, over the weekend. He's not a player that I spent any time looking at before the draft. I should have, because he was a top 30 visit, but he was the most athletic linebacker in terms of 40 time, ran 4.46. He vertical jumped 38 inches, and there is just a Micah Hyde, Andrew Van Ginkle kind of anticipation ability and feel for the game that he has in watching him that I was blown away by watching him. In fact, if I didn't say this yesterday, I know I said it on my podcast, but at 6'3", 222, he's a bit undersized to play linebacker. He actually looks like more of a safety. I don't know where they'll play him, but he's the guy that I'm excited to see when we get to training camp and beyond, because he's just got that playmaking, that instinctive, you know, feel for where the ball's going to be and timing it up right. Yeah, I like him. And watching all these players, there was something to like about a lot of them, for sure. But again, scheme, fit, opportunity, you know, then all of the intangible stuff, all that stuff matters. The one thing I feel good about with this group is I feel like, you know, they are picking players that are A, athletic. They've added some team speed in this draft, which I thought they needed to do. And they're not adding knuckleheads. They have steered clear of knuckleheads. At this point, they have. That reminds me, we will do a Shedeur Sanders discussion a little bit later on in the show. We'll talk some Caps next with Ben Raby. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app, and if you download that app, you can simply open up the Team 980 YouTube page, although you don't need the app to do that. Go to the Team 980 YouTube page, and we're streaming live there every day from 10 to 1. Craig does the same thing from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and subscribe to the stream. That helps us out a lot if you can do that. Caps talk next.